Venus is down, make a deal, yeah, no disobey. I take it all, I don't know way. Leave myself, first class and first rate. And all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you be ever bitter. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for the truth is all that you have for your soul. Here I am, I'm waiting for a better day. Sending chance, a little luck to come my way. Hope you dream, I hope that I can sleep again. Living in the world, the clear times and some clean hands. All that you have, give your soul. Don't get tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you be ever broken. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for the truth is all that you have, give your soul. My mama told me, cause she sent you in the highway. Says you wanna spend it your life. She said, don't give a slave soul away, cause all that you have, you will sow.
All that you have. And you are on the air with Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. It is October 30th, 1985, and a beautiful foggy Monday. Tied up and nice, and I have to use my windshield wipers. For the next 3 hours, the topic is civil rights on the streets. And the phone number is 427-3772. Call in. Let us hear what you have to say. Let us hear what your thoughts are. We want some discussion of the issues, not just my voice coming up, but your voice going out there too. 427-3772, we're on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM in Santa Cruz. Every Monday and Friday, it's Bathrobe Spears Broadsides and Bathrobe Spear Robert Moose, and these are the broadsides. Well, we have interviews playing today from all over the state, including Berkeley, Arcata, Santa Barbara, and Santa Cruz. So it's lots of folks coming in, lots of schedules. Actually, they're coming in by telephone and by tape recording. And we actually have a few live guests coming in as well from right here in the beautiful downtown Pacific Mall, where police have turned to rousting people from the Ford's parking lot for criminal sitting. Not only is it illegal to sit down 10 feet from the shop, but apparently under new police interpretations of the famous Kennedy Ratkin sit on the sidewalk near a shop, go to jail, downtown ordinances, it's also illegal to sit under trees in the Ford's parking lot. This, of course, a thin pretext to rid the city of deadheads, hippies, and so-called undesirables, undesirable to those who look no further than the pocketbook of an individual to judge her worth, or her appearance to judge her worth. Also, we'll be having interviews on the streets about the crackdown on craftspeople. Not only was Morgan's harassed, Antoinette Rodici, a peace activist who has a peace literature table, a civil rights activist table at the Farmers Market on Wednesday, and also displays some jewelry there. Not only has she been harassed in the last few weeks, but apparently it's extended up and down the mall to almost every jewelry person you could name who is showing her jewelry on the streets. On Friday, I saw at least 3 instances of this within a period of half an hour. and we're going to have an interview with some of those craftspeople. And how some of them stood their ground and told the police, please leave us alone in the funnest possible times. And they, in fact, they weren't left alone, but they refused to move, and they weren't arrested or cited. You're going to hear all that, and I'm going to ask you to call and give me your opinions on that. And if you feel people should be removed from the avenue for selling jewelry, for displaying jewelry, for taking donations for jewelry, you feel that people should be removed for sitting down. I'd like to hear from you, too. Your viewpoint is not my viewpoint, but hey, maybe you can educate me on the great need to criminalize poverty here in Santa Cruz and keep a buff look on the downtown mall. Another issue we're going to be talking about is the curfew, the 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew that looks like it's coming right down the road. Through our own board of stupid vipers, or supervisors, as they call themselves, these guys and gals are planning to make it criminal for people under the age of 18 to be out in public after 11 o'clock at night unless they are going to and from a sanctioned event. It's, there are a few other exceptions too, but in the main, it's another tool for harassing anyone who looks young. And you'll hear how the Santa Cruz City Council opposed this provision for Santa Cruz City, but that isn't going to make much difference, and that's not much new news, although it's commendable, certainly. And for once, the progressives acted like progressives on the City Council, but it is very rare when they do on homeless issues these days, and that is, of course, the great pity. But give them credit when they do. Thank you very much, City Council. Don't arrest people for bringing it after 11 o'clock unless there's a little crime involved. Nice thinking, straight thinking, clear thinking, very good. Some of the Mercury News from October 25th reports three cities are considering this a uniform curfew ordinance, so it may not be too far afield to say this is something of a plot, perhaps. That is to say, showing up in different cities at different times, although some have different provisions. Some of the different cities at pretty much the same time. This is seems to be a statewide, and possibly, I haven't considered any information from other states, but could be nationwide, attempts to put forward the appearance of order without the substance, the appearance of safety without the reality. It's, I guess, a favored pastime by politicians around election time. Anyway, this story reads as follows. A uniform curfew ordinance is in the works for the Tri-Cities, and Union City's teens and middle school students will be some of the first to tackle the issue. Union City, Fremont, and New York, those are East Bay cities, just across the bay from San Francisco, want to begin exploring the curfew just as San Jose completes its first year of the curfew ordinance and as Palo Alto's ordinance expires. At its Tuesday night meeting, the Union City Council decided to solicit input from residents, including students in the New Haven Unified School District's middle and high schools, before implementing the curfew. Wouldn't it be nice if Sheriff Tracy here in Santa Cruz did the same thing? But Sheriff Tracy isn't even calling back those of us who had asked to have input into his process. Board of Supervisors didn't send this curfew ordinance to the Social Service Department, they didn't send the curfew ordinance to the homeless services, they didn't send the curfew ordinances to the young people, they sent it to the sheriff, who was the one who sent it to them in the first place. So, I mean, can we say incestuous interactions here? Rubber stamping back and forth? I guess we can, because that seems to be what was happening. And the curfew ordinance is due to return, I believe, November 7th to Board of Supervisors here in Santa Cruz County. Again, what I'm reading from the San Jose Mercury News on October 25th is about East Bay cities, the Tri-Cities, where at least they put the proposal up to those high schools for discussion. The proposal will be considered by some of the city's commissions, including the Youth Advisory Committee, before it reaches the City Council in December. The proposed ordinance suggests a 10 p.m. nightly curfew for people 18 and younger. It will be illegal for a teen to loiter in any public place in the city between 10 p.m. to 5 a.m., and it would also be unlawful for a parent to allow the youth to break the curfew. So not only does the kid go to jail, but the parent gets to join her. I mean, it's a great idea.
Certainly a good one for prison builders and the prison guards unit. As in many cities with curfew laws, a young person's first offense would result in a warning. And of course, that's very reassuring. So that's the curfew in the Tri-Cities. In the meantime, what we got here is Santa Cruz, and what they're doing around the curfew, and that of course is going to require that I actually look through this entire mess and find the right newspapers. Good luck. But we will be discussing that when that particular newspaper comes to the front of the stack here. And in the meantime, here's a local Santa Cruz Sentinel. October 19th, I guess it would be local, it's right around the corner at your local newsstand, probably 50 cents or less if somebody leaves some on top of the newsstand. What issues concern you the most right now is the on-the-street box that the Sentinel has every day, every weekday at least, on the second page. And, interestingly enough, the two issues that seem, the one issue that goes through all of this is homeless people. And it surprises me to some extent because I've been engaged in civil rights work on the streets for about a decade now, and I tend to see a lot of emotion on the issue, but not much organization. And there's, of course, the conventional wisdom which has it that with the right-wing riptide nationwide, the Republican Gingrich victory, Wilson's cuts at the state level, the conservative makeup of the Board of Supervisors, which is likely to pass this upcoming curfew, and the right-wing look of our own so-called progressive city council, which last year, as you all know, passed the anti-homeless downtown ordinances. And they've made a few minor changes in the sleeping van law, but nothing that has significant impact in terms of decriminalizing sleeping for the majority of homeless people in the city area. It's still a criminal offense. It's still being prosecuted as a criminal offense. People are still being arrested for it. People are still being awakened every night and harassed for it. In the open air shelter, the only legal place for people to be, is going to be closed. Almost, well, surely by December 1st, and perhaps before then. There's an update on that for those of you who are interested. I spoke to Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program Director Paul Marceau this morning. He heads the open air shelter program. He informed me that the Armory Winter Shelter, which was going to replace the open-air shelter program for the winter, will not be opening as soon as was thought, at least on the weather-related basis. And usually the Armory opens up permanently in December every night, regardless of the weather, at a certain date, and that date this year was December 15th, and it has been moved up to December 1st. That was his information. But usually before that, like from November 1st to December 15th, the Armory is open when the weather falls below a certain temperature and it's raining. And this year, they have decided not to do that. So the Armory will not actually open until December 1st, when it will open night by night permanently, and either permanently, or hopefully not permanently, again, this is the question that's coming up, close down the open-air shelter. The local social services director is trying to get a dispensation from the state. Actually, I'm not quite sure what her position is, but a dispensation is being sought from the state so that the armories can open up, at least this army, the army here in Santa Cruz, on a weather-related basis, which will allow citizens coming for the homeless to close down the campground earlier. The campground, as I said on many a broadcast, even though there's controversy about it, even though it's a tawdry thing, it's a poor thing. Nonetheless, it's a place where people can get together, put up tents, and camp legally, which is a great rarity. There used to be such a campground in Marin County. It was closed down, and I believe that there may have been campgrounds in other counties. But Santa Cruz is, its campground is fairly unique in that regard. And there's a lot, as I said, that can be said against it, but what can be said for it is you can leave your stuff there during the day, you can store stuff there, you can have friends there. It is even open to people who are alcohol and heavens forfend, use or abuse drugs on occasion. You know what I mean? This, in fact, happens. This is what we're talking about. America, 1995. We're not talking about some empire in the clouds or some utopia of the future. We're talking about reality, where people, particularly people on the streets, some of them are alcoholic, some of them are drug abusers, and some people indeed smoke marijuana, whether they're on the streets or not. Some people are heroin users. Well, that's how it is. And the fact that these people should be criminalized for sleeping as well is preposterous, and yet what's going to happen when the open-air shelter closes and the winter armory program opens? Well, we hope they're going to be tolerant, but we know they cannot have the degree of tolerance that is allowed at the open-air shelter, because the open-air shelter is differently situated. The county doesn't like the open-air shelter. The county, of course, should be responsible. It should have its own programs that allow for a number of open-air shelters throughout the county to deal with the thousands of homeless people in Santa Cruz County, not just the, I don't know, what, 800 to 1,500 homeless in the city there. It shouldn't be left in the hands of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, a private, non-profit group to take care of. But that's how it's happened at the moment, and it's been working. It's been working. The Above the Line Community Consortium, a group of homeless activists, social service people, and merchants, raised enough money to keep that shelter open through the summer. Now the Citizens Committee for the Homeless wants to close that shelter. It wants to set up its own little pet project, community house, and refuses to give a commitment to the community that these 200 people who are at that shelter will not be displaced, that there will be another place for them to go. They support, the Citizens Committee supports another place for people to go, but they will not agree to commit themselves to saying, no, we won't build on top of this. This project, we won't send all these people scurrying to the four corners and the bushes and the clutches of the police department if such a place can't be found. And that, of course, is something I've been urging people to consider. And there'll be an interview with a camper, one named Ann, later in this program. In fact, maybe now is the time to hear what people at the campground have to say, at least what she has to say. I went out to the open-air shelter on Friday, spoke with her, and anyway, let's see what she has to say.
Testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, are we working? Okay, it's October 27th, 1995. I'm out here at the open air shelter with Ann. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
So we were talking about
the dislocation of a lot of people and the inconvenience that's going to cause a lot of people, especially a lot of families.
Right.
And another thing they were saying is if a family takes up more than 1 year, if there's more than 3 people in the family, they're going to have to rent 2 units, which is a very, it's going to cost. The numbers they gave us were between $180 and the full price was $600 to run the entire unit. To run which includes utilities and food, which is understandable. But the other thing they said was that they're going to, once they get the quote-unquote family, or the person living in the unit, or people living in the unit, once they get on their feet and establish everything, the savings account, that they're going to go up to the next level, which means they have to pay more for that same unit for the same services, which I don't think is fair.
Briefly interrupting this, the background noise you hear are several old-time kind of cronies of the old management of the open-air shelter in the field, the free meal program, harassing me, shouting Robert Norris, Satan, and so forth. Some of the folks out there, actually only two or three who approached me, were quite somewhat menacing in their demeanor. They've always opposed organizing at the campground field, and when I appear on the subject of wild public comment, free speech, of course. They have the right to say what they want. But the first rule of a campground, if you look at the rules of the open air shelter, is that verbal abuse and threats are not tolerated. Apparently for some they are tolerated, and for others they aren't. But don't let this detract you from the other very important or the main considerations in this interview. Ian has done a lot of thinking on the subject, and they'll continue to pay analysis of what displacing 200 homeless people would mean, that which is about to happen thanks to the Citizens Committee for the Homeless.
In my opinion, they should stay the same amount the entire time they're there. That way they have that much more they can put away each month, that much more they can get on their feet with.
So, what do people around you think should be done?
A lot of people agree with me that they should keep the open air shelter where it's at. I mean, it's a prime location. As the newspaper article said, like a month ago, I think it was, they're really not getting complaints. They're so-called complaints, but I don't know. I used to drive by myself, and it looks better with tents up than it does with just an empty field. It's in an industrial area where there's not a lot of people around to complain. Because, yes, it's noisy, but that's, I mean, you figure 200 people, they're going to have something happen once in a while. For the people who don't have transportation, you don't have money for bus passes and everything, the ISSP is still going to be here, the social services, the Kent, Gillette's program, the Homeless Resource Center is still going to be here. Nothing else is moving. Everything else is still going to be here. It's in a prime location. It's within walking distance to downtown. It's within walking distance to Emmeline, to the clinic. I don't know why they want to, I mean, it's stupid to move it.
Well, do you think that people here have enough stake in the situation to want to actually resist the movement of this campground by staying here?
I think a lot of people are scared, to be honest with you, because they don't know if they're going to have the cops come in and pull everybody out or what's going to happen, because this is all a lot of us have. I mean, a lot of us don't have any families out here or anything, and a lot of us have, we don't have that many, what do they call it, kettles in the fire, stakes in the fire, whatever. A lot of us are scared. If we stand up and if we do stay there and rebel or whatever and say, well, we're not going to move, then we have a feeling we're all just going to be pushed off like one of those protest rallies. We're just going to come haul through and dance or something, you know, and just take everything that we've got, what little we have left.
You know, the field was originally established by protesters who slept in here in 1988, and then actually I was one of the people arrested here in 1991 when they tried to clear everybody away from the field, and did. But gradually they came around to the idea that, you know, it makes more sense to have a place where people can legally sleep together with a certain amount of safety than being forced off into the boonies and being, you know, ticketed in different places and produce complaints in different neighborhoods, you know, how the routine runs. Really, things lie in the hands of people who are here. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, well-intentioned liberals and civil liberties type people. I'm a civil liberties type person myself, and I'm not homeless. You know, I live in a room, you know, but I'm concerned about these issues, and I do a radio show, and that's, of course, what we're on here now. I'd encourage you to keep talking to people and see what their views are. You may have more time than you know to organize around this if you decide you want to organize.
Yeah, I understand. The other thing is a lot of people they don't really look to me for anything because, like I said, I've only been at this particular place for a month and a half. I haven't been in California for 2 years. I'm back from Illinois. So it's like a lot of people say, well, she comes in, she makes a big fuss, so she doesn't know what she's talking about, she doesn't know what she's doing. But it's kind of weird because I'm not really a totally religious person, but it's like I feel somehow I was drawn here for a reason. And I've got more gumption. People that know me, that have known me for the past year, say I've got more energy going through me now, and I'm standing up more in the last couple months with having to deal with this than I have since they've known me. And it's like, I've got a couple more people that I've spoken with about this that are kind of behind me on it, and I'm trying to get some more people together, but I don't know what's going to come of it. You know, I can only take it day by day. That's all we can do. So, I'm trying to do what I can.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. Keep spreading information that, you know, is true and helpful, and, about basic justice. The idea of displacing, you know, 200 people to make room for 44 is preposterous.
Yeah, they say, well, they've up numbers. They said the Armory holds 130, and and ISSP, the church program, will take another 28. That's 158 people. That's still 42 people out in the cold for the winter.
Right.
And the original plan was between November 1st and December 15th. The field will be open for use only if the armory is not available. So it'll be the armory or the field. But that's still not right, because then the people who don't fit at the armory or at the church are still screwed. They're still locked. You know, they're still in limbo, so to speak. So what are they going to do with them? They'll get arrested, just have one place to sleep?
You might consider circulating a petition of some kind, getting people to sign it.
Just an idea.
At least talking to people and see what they think they want to do, where they're going to go. But see, I think the theory that the Citizens Committee is going to use is that they'll claim they have a place for people to go, most of them, except for 40. And then what they'll do is they'll get people in the, you know, the winter shelter. People will be dispersed. There'll be no place to keep your stuff during the day.
Right.
So that's going to be a major difficulty for a lot of people here. And then, come April, people are going to be, you know, the community sense will be gone, and they'll be able to do whatever they want with this property, which is the bottom line.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like I said, they're talking about possible breach of contract because they haven't built on it, and they've had it for some, like, they said this has been in the process for like 2 or 3 years. But they have several, I know personally, several people have come up with different ideas on how to build. It'd be less expensive, less labor. You'll still be able to house the same amount of people. You'll still be able to abide by the contract. You'll still be able to get the funding. And the other thing was, we're all going to be out in the cold, so to speak, come the 1st of November when they've got it now. And
yeah, a little louder, man.
That's your work with Frank Lyons up out of here.
Thank you.
And they're going to dislocate us. We're going to lose our place to live, but they're still getting their checks. They're still getting their money. And that's what another person brought up. But I know, like I said, I know a lot of us are willing to work, even like to build like just a roof of some sort, you know. So they didn't specify any particular type of building that I know of. I haven't seen the contract. But they just said some type of building, I guess. And I know people who are certified electricians and that will be willing to help. And it's just, you know, there's a lot of people that want to help, but they don't want it. You know, we've basically been told that.
They being the Citizens Committee for the homeless.
Right.
Well, again, it's not in the hands of the Citizens Committee, really. It's in the hands of the homeless. It always has been. There's enough people who raise their voices and express their determination, they will have to do what people want them to do.
Well, like I said, we kind of tried to when they had that meeting last Thursday. We had that meeting last Thursday, and then the Friday meeting at City Hall, it's like, well, he said, what we're going to do is we're going to have the questions first, so we can kind of, so we didn't really have told everything then. They knew what they were talking about, but all they wanted to tell us was what our main questions were. They just wanted to answer our questions. My opinion is they should have told us everything, then answered us, you know. Then if there were any more questions to be answered, I would rather have all the information, you know, whether it's worthy or not, and then just go back and sift through it, than just have bits and pieces of it that answer certain people's questions. Because
uh-huh.
People have questions that come back later.
Right.
You know, and we can't always get a hold of these people. So it's, I don't know. I'm just getting really pissed off about this whole thing.
Well, so I think that's quite a healthy reaction.
Yeah.
Unless you get pissed off, you're going to get pissed on. It seems to me.
Yeah. It's been the motto. Pissed off, pissed off. But it's just, yeah, like I said, a lot of people are afraid to do anything because they're afraid of what little they've got left they're going to lose.
Right.
You say, well, we're just homeless people. We can just take everything, you know? And when last month when I went to the Sentinel, and the Sentinel came out here, one of the statements made was, they've got the nice warm beds to go home to. And I'm the one who made that statement. That was the final statement in their little article that made the front page. But I'd say my main gripe was, they were talking about the tents being up. And my main gripe was during the day when it gets so hot out here, a lot of people have mental and physical illnesses out here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way they can fit 150, 200 people underneath the eating area, shelter, or in the bay or whatever. And you got to have a medical notice to keep your tent up.
Mm-hmm.
And certain people keep their tents up regardless. You know, I've been sick for the last 3 weeks, so I've been able to keep mine up, so I've got somewhere to go during the day. But even during the day, the tent gets so hot inside, it's really, you know, it's unbearable.
What Ian is speaking of here is some of the favoritism that happens where people who are working closely with the Citizens Committee, monitors, if you will, they keep up their tents while others are not. When I was there on Friday, there were almost everybody's tent was up, or I mean, it looked like tents were up generally, so perhaps there was a change in policy.
Also, it should be mentioned that Amelia Byers, in a phone call to me, was assuring me that everyone who needed a place would have a place. But as we can see from the simple numbers of, 125 or 130 odd places in the Armory, to be followed by 40 or 50 places at most in the satellite shelter program, that leaves, in with over 200 people in the campground, at least 20 or 30 or 40 out as it is now. So her, unfortunately, Catherine Byers, Mayor Byers' claim of there'll be room at the inn for everyone echoes the kind of fairy stories that Mayor Marty Reinhart was telling us back in 1989 and 1990, when the police were seizing homeless bedding, rousting people from the homeless table, and dragging them off to jail for sleeping when there was no legal place to sleep, as there is today. Even with the open-air shelter, no legal place for the majority of people to sleep. And it looks like even the minority is going to be kicked down the road come April unless people organize to stop the closing of the open-air shelter. Now, my critics may say, or critics of this proposal may say, well, look, the city council is looking for another piece of property. They've actually found three pieces of property they're looking at. One of them, I think, is near Pioneer House. Another one is up near Peter Carota's soup kitchen. And then there's a third prospect of some kind of camping in the parks. Oh, we have an incoming call here.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, what's the topic?
Topic is open-air shelter and the open-air shelter situation.
Yeah. And what do you think?
Well, I'm talking about it, Al, on the air. Maybe you should
Al.
Stick with me.
Why did you say it's Al?
Because it is. Well, you are an unmistakable guy, Al.
Is this Bob?
It certainly is. Yeah. But let me complete what I was saying, because I was in the middle of a thought. Maybe you can get back to me a bit later?
Huh?
Unless you have something you want to add at this point.
Yeah, the shelter sucks.
I want to elaborate on that.
Oh, you want to elaborate on the suck part?
Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, elaborate on... Yeah, I was there about... it was about three and a half years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it's a... It's strictly cattle call, bureaucratic cattle, sheep herding, people around following. The only reason I was there is because, I should say, the reason that I was there is because I wasn't speaking, so I could just kind of follow, stand in line.
You were depressed?
No, I was suffering from severe melancholia.
Ah, gotcha.
Depression is a psychiatric term.
I agree with you. You were sad.
Yeah. And if you were late, you were in trouble if you came there, because the buses take you to the various churches, and the armory was open at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what I noticed when I was out there on Friday was that the place was completely covered with tents. There must have been 40 or 50 tents.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we are.
Good, okay.
And this was during the day, and so I think that, because of the pressure of so many people there, they can no longer have the kind of control systems in place, at least at the open-air shelter that they did 3 years ago. It's much more influenceable by the people who are there.
Yeah, to some degree it is, but also...
Yes.
Yeah, well, also, I don't have to get into, that part of it, but going on further to what you're talking about, it's true to a degree, but it's still a controlled situation that people are in an area in a part of town that not many people go to.
So
they
sort of
drive past and go, oh, that's that place.
Yeah, that's true.
Where those people are.
Right, exactly.
So, the stigma is, is right, that's it.
Uh-huh.
And if there was more community, obviously, what I'm saying, everybody knows, but I guess you got to say it over and over until maybe it sinks in somebody's head.
Definitely.
If there was more community and more people, if I didn't, let's put it this way, I wasn't even reaching out to people. They reached out to me, luckily because I do poetry, mm-hmm. and so they like my poems and said, hey, why don't you, lay here on my floor? And so little by little, I got myself going.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, except for the guys, there are guys, there are people at one end of the spectrum that are just not speaking and eating out of garbage pails, and then you have people on the other end of the spectrum that are just, kind of, you know, doing their thing, whatever it is, addictive, whatever, and getting, you know, getting by. And then you got the middle in between, the, you know, like middle class people that have been displaced. So, I mean, obviously it runs the
gamut.
Right, the gamut of
yeah.
You know, just across the board.
And it's increasing, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And people are in denial. Let's put it this way. When I say people are in denial, the spectators are in denial because they think that this is like this thing that only happens to somebody else.
Yeah.
It's true that we're, I should say we, because I could use myself too. And in fear, denial and fear, and the fear is that as long as it's over there, it's okay. So then the fear back reinforces the denial, and the denial reinforces the fear, and it just kind of is placated and stays what it is within that.
Now, I've got guest who just arrived. Can I thank you and encourage you to call back later if you have more you want to say?
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Al.
Okay, bye.
And before our next live guest, we're going to continue with this interview with Ann out at the Open Air Shelter.
So,
hey, I want some too. Listen, Ann, thank you. Would you like to add something more to this?
Just the fact that I think more people should come out. I'm going to try and do what I can, but it's just, people shouldn't be afraid. I mean, this is supposed to be, you know, land of the free, you know, freedom of speech and all that other fun stuff. And you say anything out here, and it's automatically, you're carted off or something, you know. I found in California the simple fact that it's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty.
Out here, you mean at the open air shelter or in
just in general?
In
California.
In California,
just on the west coast, from my experience, it's guilty until proven innocent.
Right.
I mean, you're automatically assumed to doing something, and if you can't prove yourself innocent, if you were by yourself or something, you're screwed. You know, and it's harder to prove yourself innocent than it is for them to prove yourself guilty. For them to prove you guilty.
So which tent is yours? In case I want to find you again.
That big lopsided one. It's kind of a blue one, blue and gray.
And
with the flowers up front of it.
So it's this one right here?
Yeah.
So it looks purple to me.
It's green and white and blue.
And how can a message be left for you?
I have a voicemail number, which is 457-9754, box number 550. Or I have a pager number, which is 469-2480. So.
Actually, since this is being broadcast on the air, do you mind if those numbers go out? Or?
I don't care.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, well, it's about 5:30, and we're still out here at the Open Air Shelter. I'm talking to
Joe
and
Kathy.
And you folks have been here for much of the summer.
I've been here for 10 years.
And so you were here all summer, though, as well.
Yes.
And how has the shelter been running, the open air, the campground here, the shelter?
I think it should be run better, much better. I mean, the bathroom should be cleaner. And they call it drug-free,
uh-huh.
Alcohol-free, but it's not. It's not alcohol drug-free.
We're
going
to buy
Almost
Buzz
Fest
for next month. $14
only.
$5.
Oh,
but thank you.
But if I have to leave here, I'll have to go on the street. And if I go on the street, then I'll get busted for I'll get a ticket
for sleeping.
Vagrancy,
panhandling, and whatever else comes with it.
Yeah, and I'll be in jail. I'll be in jail, and then the county of Santa Cruz will get their money from me. Yeah, and they're not getting my money right here. I mean, I'm just laying on the ground. What harm is that? What harm is that for me laying on the ground? And
who's the guy with the big guy with all the hair?
And
that with all the hair?
But, you know, I'm going to get a ticket for trespassing or, what do you call it? Vagrancy, whatever.
Doesn't
make sense. It doesn't make sense.
So you found the campground here is better than last year, right?
No.
Worse than last year.
Yeah.
So how has it changed?
There's a lot more people. I mean, there are so many people here.
I've been here since, let's see, what year? 1992. Yeah, about 1992. And there was just a few people. But yes, now they got babies. I mean, this is insane. They got babies out here. They've got dogs. I mean,
but do they have any choice?
Yeah, they do have a choice.
So you think that there are other places for moms with kids to go?
Yeah, if they didn't do drugs and alcohol.
But if wishes were horses, then beggars would ride.
Yeah. But I go on the street. Well, you've seen me. I go on the streets, and I panhandle. It's called panhandling. But I panhandle.
They need a place like this for people that are hooked on drugs and alcohol, so they got some way of getting off of it.
By this, you mean this campground?
Yeah, this campground, and that they can try.
A place they can come to. Yeah. Oh, golly gee, well, we got a place to come to.
They can
drink and do alcohol, drugs, and I've seen it going on for 10 years.
Well, Kathy, Joe, I thank you. Anything you want to conclude with?
Yeah, I think they need to get some more counselors in there for drug and alcohol rehabilitation. And
maybe that
will help this problem be over with.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right.
And you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobe Spiel's Broadsides, and our live guests have arrived in a whole flock in the studio here, including the woman who was previously speaking at the Open Air Shelter. Ann, introduce yourself.
My name is Ann Curry, and I'm currently residing at the Open Air Shelter, for lack of any place else to go right now.
Okay, we also have in the studio some folks who don't use the Open Air Shelter, and perhaps they can talk about that too, and also have been encountering some difficulties on the streets. Why don't you gentlemen sign in?
Good morning, my name's Billy, and I'm here to discuss what the homeless people, we as a group, can do for ourselves.
Just speak loudly from over there.
My name is Brad. I'm just passing through, really, but I'm hanging out here for a while.
Thank you. Well, Ian, why don't we begin with you? You've been at the shelter for about a month and a half, and you were saying you felt the idea of people being evicted by, well, the shelter that may be discontinued in April if another site is not found, and if people do not resist the Citizens Committee's plan to move some trailers onto the site and call it transitional housing and then set up a kind of a social service program where people can, you know, maybe attempt to get off of drugs, or how they can do that right next to the free meal and the day center is going to be an interesting question. You were critical of that program in the segment of the tape that we played earlier. What do you think of the prospects for people actually resisting through petition or even civil disobedience at the Open Air Shelter this plan to move people off by December 1st?
I really don't think we have, from my opinion, I really don't think we have a choice. I think because I've already been told flat out that regardless of what we do, they're still going to put the trailers up there, which, like I said, they hold from 40 to 44 units. But that's going to leave, after the Armory closes, that's going to leave like 100-plus people out.
Well, actually, it'll leave more than that out, because those units will only go to paying people. And I don't know how many people at the campground could actually afford transitional housing.
Yeah, they said you're going to have to go through an application process and all that, just like getting an apartment. But it's really sad, because a lot of people really don't have the money. Like, the people out there with kids get AFDC, but it's not enough to get a place. When I had my two kids, I got $600 a month, but, I mean, they don't want to rent a one-bedroom, or they don't want to rent a studio to somebody with kids. That's like discrimination. If you've got kids or pets, you're screwed, basically.
And you can have pets out at the open-air shelter.
Yeah, you can have pets out there as long as you clean up after them and all that, keep them on the leash and that. But it's like they're saying with the National Guard, that they're not going to have... There are no pets allowed in the shelters, no pets allowed at the armory, no pets allowed on the vehicles. So, I mean, what's going to happen to all these all these pets, they become family members, especially with the kids.
Do you have much contact with other people out at the open air shelter? Can you tell, for instance, how many people actually are looking forward to having winter shelter at the Armory, and how many would prefer to continue the rather frosty business of living in tents? I mean, to me, it seems that the campground should be kept open for those who want to use it throughout the winter. If the resources were available, Citizens Committee for the Homeless says that they don't have the resources. But what do the people out there say, in your opinion?
I haven't really had a chance to talk to him on that, but a friend of mine said that they say that it'll be available for those who like work late and miss the bus to the Armory or to the churches. They said it'll be available, right, the campground will be available to, or as they call it, the field, will be available to those who, you know, miss the bus or whatever, miss the transportation. But you have to clear your stuff by a certain time every morning and make sure everything's off the field and out of sight. So it's kind of like a catch-22, you know.
It really kind of describes how they 1995, Santa Cruz, along with the rest of Gingrich America, wants to regard poor and homeless people out of sight. That has been the whole movement downtown, which in fact perhaps allows for you, Larry, to make a couple comments on what's been happening downtown that you've observed. How long have you been in town?
That's Billy.
Sorry. Billy?
That's all right. Could you repeat that question again?
Yeah, I ran into your downtown, and you were quite upset about stuff you saw happening on the mall, and I believe that was what, and also stuff happening around the camping and the sleeping situation?
Yeah, you betcha. For example, I've had, I don't know how many illegal camping tickets over the last 20 years since I've been on the street myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel that, you know, I was born here in Santa Cruz 35 years ago, and I feel it's about time that we as a homeless group, man, get together and do something to help ourselves. One of the things that we can do, my camp, my group in particular, what we do first of all is we go around helping feed other homeless people. Also, we have a lot of